A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Paulie G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes, slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu, and
Uh-oh, indeed. Jeez, that was not comfortable to watch last night in Thursday Night Football. Thank you very much to Amazon for showing us the replay of Tua Tagovailoa's crumpled fingers over and over again. Happy Friday. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump aboard, 713-780-3776. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You can tweet in on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, at ESPN97.5. Last night was a Thursday night football game that we're all pretty excited about. But that's all that we're talking about after the Bengals took down the Dolphins is Tua Tagovailoa going down, hitting his head very hard on a short week after a game where it looked like he was pretty clearly concussed. And it's Mike McDaniel's fault that last night the Tua Tagovailoa concussion happened. It is his fault. Let's set this up a little bit. Tua is somebody who I feel like has had, over the course of his career, a paranoia develop over whether or not he'll be able to keep his job. This is something that started in 2020, right? Where the Dolphins are going back and forth between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I imagine that he is somebody that will never want to take himself out of a game due to injury again. And you can understand in a game against the Super Bowl favorite Buffalo Bills that Tua, if people aren't going to take him out of that game, he was going to keep himself in that game as long as he possibly could. And that brings us to last night, where Tua looked slow, making a lot of decisions. I don't know if I can make a read based off of that, that he was dealing with a concussion or that he was foggy in the brain or something like that. But I just feel like on a short week, conventional wisdom is maybe if you're the head coach of a football team to sit the guy down. After the Dolphins lost to the Bengals, Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, was asked if he could confirm with 100% certainty that Tua Tagovailoa didn't have a concussion last week.
Yeah, otherwise we would have reported him having a head injury. I mean, that's why the NFL has these protocols. And there's not, like, every single NFL game that is played. There's an independent specialist that specializes in the specialty of brain matter.
I think it's interesting the way that he says brain matter. He wants to defer responsibility here. But if you're a lawyer worth any grain of salt, and you hear Mike McDaniel say in response to a question with 100% certainty, are you absolutely sure that Tua didn't suffer a concussion, as was asked by David Ferrones, a reporter for the Miami Sun Sentinel, that lawyer is going to pounce all over McDaniel for saying that. I think we all, to a degree, know people that work in the medical field. You see them give out diagnoses for things ranging from, you know, broken bone to cancer. I don't think that there's any world where someone can say with 100% accuracy whether or not someone suffered a brain injury. But when you see something happen in a game less than a week before, you should probably think twice about it. And that's why I'm going to circle back to Mike McDaniel and why he's at fault for this. Talked about this earlier in the week. The concussion protocol, it doesn't really apply to quarterbacks. We want it to, but we don't actually want it to, if that makes any sense. I say that because we have seen games where guys like Tom Brady, Cam Newton, others, have clearly had their bell rung, and they stayed in. We can see it from the sidelines because we're watching it on television, and we get all these replay angles, but a coach can't see it from the sidelines. So in the moment, if a quarterback suffers a concussion the way that we saw Tom Savage suffer one against the San Francisco 49ers back in 2017, it's definitely a lot easier for us to play Captain Hindsight than it is for the head coach who didn't see it in the moment. But when it happens and you see it and you had plenty of time to weigh in on it or think about it, maybe on a short week when your quarterback, backup quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, isn't honestly that much different than Tua Tagovailoa, maybe you should sit Tua for the week. Because Tua's not going to voluntarily say, hey man, I'm not playing on Thursday. There's only one person who has the power to say it. And I understand that these guys all want to defer to the people that are on the medical side of things. But if you're Mike McDaniel, first-time head coach, you are the guy who actually can make a decision here to stop potential further injury. A quarterback's not going to say, yeah, take me out, especially Tua Tagovailoa, who had that happen to him in 2020, that back and forth with Brian Flores as head coach. And I understand blaming the training staff. I understand blaming just the way that football is and how some players are so competitive that they're going to lie, essentially, to maybe a training staff or in the midst of a concussion protocol. They're going to say things that they're not actually feeling. So again, when you have multiple days to look back at Tua Tagovailoa staggering in the midst of a game, what do you think you should do if you are that head coach? So I think the NFL should fine or suspend Mike McDaniel. And I'm not acting outraged about this, and I also feel like McDaniel doesn't need to be canceled for this. I just think he's at fault for this. I think that this is something that he could have prevented. If you have thoughts on it, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We'll take a look at some of the comments on Twitch in just a moment. Here's Mike McDaniel talking about the decision that went in to having Tua Tagovailoa play against the Bengals last night, a couple of days after he suffered that injury against Buffalo.
I mean, what goes into every one of those decisions? That, you know, it starts with your medical staff, but then there's independent specialists that look into it too. There's an entire protocol, and then you're talking to the player as well. So probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 different layers of a process and decision making, like you do with all players.
He defers there. And there are other people, based off of what we heard on the 6 to 7 person Amazon post-game show, which saw Richard Sherman and Andrew Whitworth stepping over the gloved Tony Gonzalez, which I found funny. I think Tony Gonzalez was about to snap during that first segment and almost said, well, maybe I don't belong here, because they kept on interrupting him. Oh, no, go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead. And then he just like looks ahead at the camera for the rest of the conversation, clearly paying no attention. But anyway, back to this. Both Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth brought up that, okay, first off, there's guys on the sidelines that are supposed to bring you into a tent if they see something. There's also spotters on the sideline that are supposed to see things. So again, I can understand how Mike McDaniel is deferring a little bit of the responsibility here, and that there are specialists that are supposed to be able to determine whether or not Tua Tagovailoa has a concussion. But this is still a very inexact science when it comes to determining that. I understand that there's not a lot more of a protocol that's more nuanced than it was probably like 10, especially 20 years ago. But it's still a very inexact science. I feel like it's pretty easy to make a judgment call as a head coach that, you know what, he looked bad there. Whether it's a head injury or a back injury, as the Dolphins were talking about, and maybe it honestly was a back injury, when your quarterback's having a seizure a couple of days later, how do you not look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have some sort of responsibility here? And if you're a head coach, you have power that I understand you want to defer away to the medical staff, but sometimes you got to make the tough decision. And you could be Buddy Kilmer in Varsity Blues throwing Billy Bob out there to have his 12th concussion in a game, or you could be the guy that says, this guy doesn't have it, and I have a good backup quarterback. As far as backup quarterbacks go, Teddy Bridgewater is a pretty good one. I'm not saying that the guy's like someone who should be a starter somewhere else, but you had an alternative and you said, you know what? No, we're going to roll with the guy who was staggering with a back injury a couple of days after he suffered possibly a concussion or a back injury. That quarterback does not want to bench himself. You are the only person that can do it. Independent neurology, people that are looking at brain matter, as you heard from Mike McDaniel, whatever. I just don't think it's as simple as saying that you're not involved in the concussion protocol decisions. But here's Mike McDaniel emphasizing that again in his post-game press conference last night.
That's told to me. It's not I'm making that decision. It's more that the medical professionals that are there with him at the time deem him fit to leave. And, you know, what goes into that, you know, I wouldn't pretend to know. I just report the news.
I feel like you can make a judgment based off of what you saw. And with all of those people, too, asking you about what Tua might have suffered and realizing that it's a week four game on a short week, I think Mike McDaniel should have stepped in and made the hard decision that a lot of head coaches aren't willing to make. And look, I mean, last year it happened. Kevin Stefanski could have benched Baker Mayfield at any point last year for Case Keenum, who, not the best quarterback out there, but again, like Teddy Bridgewater, a damn good backup quarterback. Stefanski didn't have the balls to do it. Instead, they went through the year with Baker Mayfield and one shoulder, and you saw the results out there. Baker, I am guessing, is someone who would refuse to take himself out like most quarterbacks because they don't want to lose their job. They're highly competitive, and it's hard to keep a hold on one of those jobs, even if you were a first overall pick back in the day. So someone's got to step in there. I think it's lame to defer to the training staff. You are the person that has the most power on that sideline in a week. And you had that in your back pocket as something that you remembered took place on Sunday. You should have benched him. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to weigh in on what I think is Mike McDaniel's fault, Tua Tagovailoa's injury last night, 713-780-3776. You can tweet me at Gallant Says as well. Also coming up next, there's a lot of things that are in the Texans' favor for their game on Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers. And yet, we still can't pick them, can we? We'll talk about all those reasons next.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I think what happened to Tua Tagovailoa is on Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel in last night's Thursday night football game. We'll get to some of your comments on the phone, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN is how you text as well. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. And Sean, I kept on rambling and rambling in that first segment. We talked about this before the show. You have a different take on Mike McDaniel's responsibility in what happened to Tua last night.
Yeah, because I hold him to the standard that I would hold like any other coach of, like, if the medical staff that you trust tells you, and if you don't trust them, that's a bigger issue, but tells you that your starting quarterback, no head injury, ready to go, coach, put him in Thursday, he can play. Every coach in the league is playing this guy. Every single one of them is playing their starting quarterback when the medical staff clears him. So if you believe that there was a head injury that occurred on Sunday, it has to be on the medical staff for either not putting him in protocol in the first place, because I'm not even sure if he passed protocol or if they from the get-go were like, yep, that's his back locking up. Don't even, like, it's not even a issue of putting him in the protocol. That's how he came back so quickly. I think it's mostly on the staff for either rushing him through protocol, not putting him in it, and then clearing him before it is on Mike McDaniel for, oh, my quarterback's healthy, ready to go. Well, I'm going to bench him anyway because it doesn't feel right in my gut. I just feel like that's asking something unreasonable of any head coach in the National Football League.
I get what you're saying, and I think there's a lot of sound logic behind it. And there's other people that are making that comment on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coaches should not second guess the medical staff, says Bleed Blue, any more than the doctor should call plays. Fair,
because it also goes the other way of, if the medical staff is saying that a guy is super hurt and the coach is already kind of, you know, not meddling with their decisions, but already like not listening to their decision of like, oh, he's cleared, I'm going to bench him. Well, the inverse could also be true of the medical staff going, he's not ready to play. This guy can't play. And then him looking at the player says, get out there. Like, let's do it. Because like you said, and again, Tua's completely blameless in all of this.
Completely.
It is completely understandable. He wants to play. Every player wants to play. But at some point, someone has to be the bad guy in the situation. And that is the doctor's job, to hold guys out.
A text also on the same line as you, Sean. He's not a doctor. He can only go by what the independent neurologist said. But there's a key word from the 832 in that text that I'm not sure I agree with. And as you said earlier, okay, Mike McDaniel's supposed to trust his training staff. But does anyone buy into a football team's training staff being 100% independent? I don't.
Oh, absolutely not. But still, they're still doctors. Like, they still are. They take the Hippocratic Oath. Like,
you're
they're,
right.
They're not butchers out there.
But some of these doctors have, I don't know, stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the chest with a needle and punctured his lung. Like,
yeah.
So I don't think this is necessarily the best doctors in the world. Yes, they're getting paid probably a lot of money because it's an NFL team. But there's also some special interests that are involved behind some of the decisions that they make. And I don't think it's quite the Miami Sharks in any given Sunday, you know, with James Woods running that training staff. But I do think that there's a clear bias to get the guy back out on the field. And when you have some evidence right in front of you like McDaniel had, I think it's on you to take it into your own hands here. I get it. You're supposed to trust these guys. But Jesus, we saw what happened on Sunday.
Yeah.
Back injury. Get the hell out of here.
Also, the idea that they're independent staff, so they're independent doctors, so are they not taking a paycheck for this? They're doing this pro bono? Like, oh, no, they're getting paid by the NFL and the Miami Dolphins. Okay, so how independent are they?
Yeah.
If they're getting paid by the team. But, yeah, I don't think this is, like you said, full any given Sunday, like, you know, like in a movie. But
yeah.
I do think that the Miami Dolphins, and I think I mentioned this earlier, or no, I mentioned it this weekend when over text when Tua originally got hurt in the Bills game, and the NFLPA announced that they're going to investigate that decision that the Dolphins made. That the Dolphins are by far the shadiest, the possibly most criminal organizationally in the league, because in the past 6 months alone, they've gotten investigated for the Brian Flores lawsuit, the Tom Brady tampering. Also mixed in a little bit of Sean Payton tampering in there. And now the Tua, this whole controversy, that's in 6 months of which they played 4 football games, that they just have this black eye after black eye of their owner is currently suspended, by the way. The owner is currently suspended because of all the other illegal stuff that they've been doing. That I, like, they're almost like if you say this isn't the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Commanders, I feel like we're completely not surprised at all. And we're like, oh, yeah, it's 100% the doctors who get employed by the Washington Commanders. Now, this is the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins should get some of that because they have not exactly covered themselves in glory the last 6 months. And I'm just saying 6 months for those three things. You can go back 20 years would the Miami Dolphins have ever been a, you know, sterling franchise.
That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. Great points there. 713-780-3776 is how you call in and text in. We're going to leave the Mike McDaniel discussion on the table all show long. This is what happened the last time the Houston Texans played the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm still shocked that it happened.
It's their championship today. Up by 11, 1:59 to go. Herbert looking for Cook. Intercepted! Thomas on the return! Down the sideline! Good night!
I didn't need the CBS broadcast adding the little editorial in there that this is the Texans Super Bowl. Kiss my ass, but, I mean, he's right. So, okay, going into Sunday, this is a team that the Texans beat last year. This is a team, the Chargers, that after losing 38-10 to the Jacksonville Jaguars, had a team meeting led by Sebastian Joseph Day, his first season as Chargers captain after playing for the Rams last year, called a players-only meeting.
and you have the head coach being asked about it. That's the way you want it to be, especially after a game like that. Sure, Brandon, I'm sure everyone's just totally buying into you, especially when no one spoke to the media after that game either. Not like there's a lot of media covering the Los Angeles Chargers. You would think that that means that this is a team on the ropes and that the Texans would have an advantage. And yet, no confidence. Let's go a little further. Because everything, just like with last week against the Chicago Bears, should add up to the Texans at the very least covering. Spread is 5 points, BUSR.com/ESPN. The Chargers are favored by 5 on the road at NRG on Sunday. Justin Herbert has fractured rib cartilage. This is something he's going to be dealing with for a while. Matt Hasselbeck was asked about fractured rib cartilage. I've had this injury and it stinks. Those little jabs or the big hits, those aren't great, but using your cadence hurts. You can hardly even breathe when you have this injury. Everything is bothering you. So Justin Herbert's still dealing with that. It's been almost, has it been a week and a half, I think? 2 weeks, probably? We're talking about a Thursday night game against the Chiefs.
It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. So maybe it's a little bit better. I doubt it's optimal right
now. He's also played a football game in between that.
That is true, and he got his ass kicked in it. By the way, Rashawn Slater, the Chargers' all-pro left tackle, has a ruptured bicep. So sixth-round rookie Jamari Sawyer is going to start. He was a swing guard to begin the year, though he did play left tackle for Georgia when they won the national championship last year. No Rashawn Slater. You got a rookie sixth-round pick at left tackle. Center, Corey Linsley, a knee injury. He left week two's game against Kansas City. He missed the game against the Jaguars. Keenan Allen's dealing with a hamstring injury. Joey Bosa on the defensive side of things is on the IR with a groin injury. Khalil Mack, 4 sacks thus far. He's been a great addition, but their other big addition defensively this offseason, J.C. Jackson, had to have ankle surgery on August 23rd. He missed week one, played all of week two, but then he missed week three because apparently that injury has inflamed itself. All of those guys that I listed towards the end, Allen, Linsley, and Jackson, those guys are, I guess, questionable for tomorrow's game, and we'll see the final injury report later on this afternoon. So again, Texans should have an edge here, right? And yet you can't have any faith in them. Like, there is no situation where the Texans can earn any confidence from you. And they don't deserve your confidence. They really don't. I mean, I'm thinking about this logically about how, you know what, it might make sense to pick the Texans to cover here. And I just have zero faith. And by the way, they have, to their credit, I think they covered all 3 weeks. Could be wrong on that. I'm not sure what the spread was for the Bears game.
They pushed the Bears.
They pushed. Gotcha.
So, but they are undefeated against the spread.
Okay, cool. The Texans have the NFL's worst run defense. You know, that makes you a little concerned. Chargers have the NFL's worst rushing offense. Is Austin Ekeler really going to get it together on Sunday? These linebackers, maybe. And look, the Chargers just gave up 151 rushing yards. This sucks. I mean, right? Like, you can outline it just like last week and the week before and the week before. Like, they've played 3 bums. They've tied one of them and lost to 2 of them. Like, all of those teams have sucked thus far. And this team is playing like ass. You could have a chance to be the most fraudulent 4-0 team of all time right now. And instead, like, I can't even pick you against the Chargers when this seems like a layup. Kill me. Kill all of us. Just kidding. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Up next, we go around the NFL for the 10-minute drill. We'll take a look back at the other things that took place in last night's Dolphins loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, including a hot take that I have about the quarterback situation in Miami that has nothing to do with Tua's head getting rung, and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Who would you take between the two? They're playing each other on Sunday. We'll talk about both next.
This is ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Okay. So, look, there are other storylines in the NFL other than Tua Tagovailoa having a back/head injury on Sunday and then playing again on Thursday. And then, as Al Michaels said, suffering further injury. Amazon, let's relax with some things on the broadcast. Let's relax with the first off 20-person booth. And let's relax with the replays of a guy having a seizure. Just a thought.
I didn't know Quentin Tarantino was in there running the replays for Amazon. Just like, oh, showing the fingers, going to multiple commercial breaks where I'm sure they have someone who looks online like, hey, we're getting a lot of flack on Twitter for keep showing Tua like involuntarily throwing up gang signs like as he's laying on his back. And they're like, nope, more.
Someone joked on Twitch that actually Tua was ejected for putting up gang signs. Jesus. But that moment, let's relax a little bit. It wasn't quite Scorsese level with blood everywhere, but it was Tarantino territory. That's for damn
sure. John Carpenter.
Yeah, a little much. The Dolphins were the favorite going into this game. I picked Cincy to cover. Pat self on the back. BUSR.com/ESPN is where you can gamble on these games. I think that the Dolphins were 3.5-point favorites. What was, I think, interesting about this game is Miami's offense was once again sporadic, as it has been. They made a couple of big plays deep, but I actually wonder just how strong a hold on that starting quarterback gig Tua Tagovailoa has, and that's before the injury that he suffered. I felt like he made a lot of dumb decisions in this game, and it does feel like Miami's offense is, we're going to hit you for like 4 or 5 big plays over the course of a game. Can you weather that? And if you've taken a look at Miami through the first 4 weeks of the season, sure, they have done a lot of exciting things in that win over Buffalo. Hey, they deserve credit for it. And that win against Baltimore. Wow, what a comeback. But honestly, that offense has only looked good in the end against Baltimore, where the Ravens forgot how to play defense. I'm curious to see what Bridgewater is going to do. I don't think there's going to be that much of a drop from Tua to Teddy. I feel like Miami's still going to maintain itself as a contender for however long Tua ends up being out. I doubt he will play next week. Of course, there's a long extended week, and it's the Dolphins training staff we're talking about. Funniest part about last night was hearing on the broadcast, Tua Tagovailoa goes to the hospital. Tua Tagovailoa has checked out of the hospital, and the Dolphins expect him on the team flight home. Like, let's calm down again.
Also,
Jesus.
Going to the game, there's like one of the flight tracker pictures where it looked like they flew their plane almost straight through the hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just like, what are the Dolphins doing? Like, are they trying to kill their team?
I think so. You can make an insurance claim on that.
I knew they wanted to replace Tua for Tom Brady, but they're going too far, in my opinion, now.
Yeah.
Trying to murder him.
Yeah, that's not cool. Murder?
Too far.
Mean, as Vanessa Richardson would say.
Shout out.
So, Bengals are back to 2-2. Josh Allen's going to take on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday in what could be a preview of the, MVP finalists and the AFC Championship game. Here is an interesting back and forth that Josh Allen, Bills quarterback, had with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. It has to do with something that took place, again, in that Dolphins-Bills game. No, not Tua Tagovailoa having a back injury that looked like a concussion. No, we're talking about an incident where Josh Allen got called for a personal foul with Dolphins defender Christian Wilkins, I guess being a little extra in the pile after a fumble.
Anybody with two eyes can understand what was going on under that pile. Obviously, I let the emotions get to the best of me, but there are some things that I didn't appreciate down there that was going on, and we'll let everybody make their own judgments for that. I apologize to my team for putting ourselves in a tougher situation. But it is what it is, and we'll move on.
What's interesting there is that Kyle Brandt asked a follow-up question, and the follow-up question was, hey, Josh, you know that Christian Wilkins said that grabbing your junk is an alpha move, right? And Josh Allen's like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Christian Wilkins has done this before. Remember him at Clemson doing this? And I want to say, Sean Mapes, it was a college football playoff game.
Yes.
Or, I mean, he was going fingers in places where fingers don't belong.
Yes. In, I don't want to say booties, but taint this, taint that.
Very apt way of describing it. I disagree with the notion that grabbing someone else's junk is an alpha move. But to each their own, I suppose. It is 2022.
I definitely am not going to be the one to tell Christian Wilkins that.
Yeah.
He might grab my junk.
I mean, I might wear a chastity belt around Christian Wilkins. Like the one that you see in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Just straight metal. Full metal jacket on my bits and pieces. I'm Pauly Jr. and Randolph and Horatio.
Three?
Oh, those are the hangers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
The clackers. Yeah. They got names. Yeah, we're built different. Hey, how do you feel about this game? If you had to have one or the other, is it Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I think everyone's going to say Josh Allen. I do want to give Lamar Jackson, though, a lot of credit for the way that this season has begun. Josh Allen has Stephon Diggs. Can you name any of Lamar Jackson's top targets? Mark Andrews, the tight end? I mean, Mark Andrews is nowhere close to Travis Kelce, I think, as far as actual talent, skill set. I think he's a good tight end. I don't think he's like a great tight end. He's a great fantasy football player, that's for sure. But Lamar Jackson's been throwing the ball great downfield to this point. And in a year where, I mean, Hollywood Brown asked for a trade away from Baltimore so that he could go play with Kyler Murray, who he played with in college, I think it's been really awesome to see Lamar throw some beautiful passes down the field. Like, really, the throwing side of Lamar has impressed the hell out of me to this point. And I've always been a big Lamar Jackson fan. Part of it has to do with the fact that he's been carrying one of my fantasy teams for like the last 3 years in a keeper league. Hell yeah, Lamar. Thank you so much for your service. But
keep up the good work.
Seriously, keep up the good work. You know, Jackson to Jefferson needs to continue. It's run of dominance. So we'll see what takes place. That's, I think, the most exciting game of the weekend. One last thought / story. Kyle Shanahan now has Jimmy Garoppolo back under center for him. I like seeing Kyle Shanahan get annoyed at press conferences. Former Texans offensive coordinator back in the day. Also, it's interesting to note that Mike McDaniel was on the Texans coaching staff back in the day. All the possibilities. But Shanahan was asked if Jimmy G told him, "All your plays suck, man," based off of the hot takes of, I guess, a John Boy-esque online lip reader who believes that Garoppolo said that to Shanahan.
First of all, that clip to me is a joke, so I can't believe we're talking about it. I'm pretty sure that's not what he said, but we were extremely frustrated from the whole game. I mean, anytime you are doing well in the first half, moving the ball, and you get in a second half and you have three turnovers on three of your drives, you have a safety on one, and you don't convert a third down, that's real frustrating.
Yeah, it really is frustrating. Also, when your quarterback runs out the back of the end zone, that is very frustrating. I do want people that were online getting so pumped about Jimmy Garoppolo running out the back of the end zone. There's like a very big army of anti-Jimmy Garoppolo folks out there. And I'm not going to act like the guy's a great quarterback or by any means, but Garoppolo is better at this point in his career than Trey Lance is. And if you're a contending Super Bowl team like the 49ers, Garoppolo's the guy to have out there, even if you do want to turn the keys over to Trey Lance, which is what San Francisco wanted to do before the start of the year. There's a lot of people online that are like, this is what you get with Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, you're not expecting really anything different. You know who he is. He's just better than Trey Lance right now. I'd like to go so far as like Emmanuel Acho and call the guy one play Trey, but the guy's barely played any football the last 3 years, and there's going to be some serious, I think, growing pains with him when he actually does get back out there, if he ever does get back out there. So there is like an online parade of people like this is what you get with Jimmy G. And I feel like a little bit of it is race involved too. More people are like, well, Trey Lance is more exciting. You can insert your reason as to why people believe that. Garoppolo does get a lot of chances. He's not that good of a quarterback, but San Francisco's won with him. Shouldn't that be enough for them to say, yeah, we're going forward with him for this year?
It's anti-Italian. That's what it is.
Anti-Italian discrimination. Speaking of, did you see on the Amazon broadcast that there's going to be an Andrew Cuomo show coming out? Oh, yeah.
Did not see that.
Yeah. Wait, hang on. Is it Chris Cuomo?
The CNN guy or
I
the
forget,
governor?
You know what? I forget. What Fredo Cuomo. Yeah, the CNN guy.
Oh, I have to dump that. I'm sorry.
No, you can't be using that language. No. Well, look, I want him to explain why that's racist. I do. But I thought it was really funny how there was like a commercial for it, and he says, no special interest. And it's like, dude, you got fired from CNN for covering up and trying to like get to the bottom of a story that involved your brother. Like your brother. What are you talking about?
Well, now his brother isn't the governor, so now he has no special interest.
That's true.
Unless there's another Cuomo running around there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's Mario Cuomo.
Okay, now you're...
No, I'm not.
Now you're going to tell me there's a cousin named Luigi.
Wario and Waluigi Cuomo. Okay, we got to stop. I am Paul Gallant. He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. 11 o'clock, special guest that you might not have heard in a while is going to join to talk about the Mike McDaniel situation. If you have thoughts on it, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I'm also going to Waco for the first time ever this weekend because I want to watch the Oklahoma State and Baylor game, given that that was an awesome Big 12 championship that we saw last year. What should I do in Waco, which is maybe the most fascinating city in Texas? But first, I got to tell you about my friends at BUSR, BUSR.com/ESPN. Speaking of that game, you want to put some money on it? Oklahoma State, Baylor in Waco at 2:30. Well, guys, I mean, Oklahoma State's averaging 51.5 points a year. Is Spencer Sanders really going to throw four interceptions again against a damn good Baylor defense? Maybe you want to take the underdog Cowboys, 2.5 point dogs on the road. You can do that at BUSR.com/ESPN. Maybe you have the balls to pick the Houston Texans against the underachieving Los Angeles Chargers. 5-point favorites on BUSR.com/ESPN. And if you sign up today, you will double your deposit within the first 24 hours up to $1,000. Come on, sign up, get extra money to play with in the first 24 hours and make some big money this weekend. Saturday, Sunday, it's a good weekend of football. If you want to bet on the Bills and the Ravens on Sunday, the Bills are 3-point favorites on the road in Baltimore. You can bet on horse racing. You can play roulette, blackjack at BUSR.com/ESPN. You just got to sign up there to double your deposit today. BUSR.com/ESPN.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I think it's Mike McDaniel's fault that Tua Tagovailoa got hurt in last night's Bengals victory over the Miami Dolphins. 713-780-3776. If you want to weigh in on that, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, a couple of texts. First, the eye test makes everyone culpable, writes a texter from the 832. Miami, the NFL, McDaniel, the doctors. Someone has to stop. Doctors are wrong. He talks about a story about how the doctors had it wrong about how his girlfriend had arthritis. A little bit different, but look, we've all had situations where we have faith in doctors and they're not necessarily right. Like, they're not going to be 100%. That's why I thought it was weird when McDaniel was asked, can you say with 100% certainty that there wasn't a concussion? And he said, yeah. No one can say that. My sister's a doctor. Like, they give diagnoses out. They have a general idea of what's going to happen. And sometimes it's cut and dry, like when there's a broken bone or something like that. But that doesn't mean that they're always right. So in a situation like that where there's something so obvious in front of you, maybe in a 17-game season, it makes sense to say, yeah, the doctors are saying this, but my gut is telling me that. That's me. It's easier said than done, but if you want coaches to, I think, really press back on a player who's going to do whatever he can to get back on a field, you got to do something. Suspend? Fine? And I'm not throwing Mike McDaniel under the bus saying he should be canceled or something like that. I don't think this is an easy situation for any NFL coach, but we've seen a lot of coaches over the last couple of years kind of pass the ball when they have more authority than anybody else in that organization on game day. And this isn't something that happened on game day that you can go back and look at. This is something that took place on a Sunday, a couple of days before the game. And it's a short week. You have Teddy Bridgewater as the backup. I don't care if Tua doesn't want to get benched. What's wrong with having him on the bench for one game just to make 100% sure? That looked awful. If it's a back injury too, okay, it's not a head injury. It's not a concussion. We're talking about a quarterback here.
I get it. They're tough, but these guys refuse to come out of games. The concussion protocol doesn't really apply to them. Injury protocol doesn't really apply to them. Justin Herbert comes back, and he's got broken rib cartilage in his game. Cam Newton's been dinged up before. Tom Savage stayed in the game where he had a seizure in the end zone against the 49ers a couple of years ago. This stuff happens. Someone's got to have the chutzpah to make a tough decision. And a first-time head coach, I think it's easier said than done, but I think he should have stepped in there. I think he's the reason that that injury happened. 713-780-3776 is how you call or text. I'm going to Waco tomorrow. I'm going to watch the Baylor Bears take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys in a rematch of last year's Big 12 championship game. It was awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about it in our Pick 6 segment at 11:15. Oklahoma State is number 9. Baylor is number 16, the 2.5-point favorites per BUSR.com/ESPN in Waco. But I am really curious about Waco itself. Waco is a fascinating city, and I'm someone who is obsessed with history. I don't believe in jinxes, curses, ghosts, any of that stuff. That said, you could make a strong argument that Waco is a cursed town. I was taking a look at the history of the city. Have you seen some of the stuff that's taken place here over the course of its history? So I went back in time. 2016, there was like one of the worst lynchings in United States history of Jesse Washington. It is amazing that that took place in the 1900s.
1916. You said 2016.
Did I say 2016? Yes. Sorry.
Would 1916. Have been more surprising.
Holy crap, it would have been extremely surprising. It's legitimately, if read the details, it is brutal. One of the most barbaric things that I think I've ever seen that happened in the United States of America. Not just the lynching, it was mainly like what led up to it. And I feel like ever since then, town's been, in a way, cursed, arguably. You had May 11th of 1953, the deadliest tornado in Texas history, where 114 people died. I didn't know that tornadoes hit in Texas, and I guess people in Waco were of the belief that tornadoes could not hit Waco because of the geography. Whoops. Another crazy story about Waco, obviously, the April 19th, 1993 Waco siege, Waco massacre, whatever you want to call it. I went back in time. I think this is a report from ABC 13 on February 28th of 1993.
Now, Channel 13, Eyewitness News, tonight.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. A fanatical, scripture-quoting religious leader who moved to Waco to await the end of the world. Instead, maybe to blame tonight for the deaths of several federal agents.
We've got a standoff that continues at this hour after two shootouts earlier today. A compound located 10 miles east of Waco in the community of Elk.
So, I have not seen the documentary about this. I have not seen the dramatic biopic, I guess, of this, which is on the Paramount Plus network. It features Taylor Kish. It also features, I think, Michael Shannon. I always confuse those two. Give off both of them serial killer vibes. One of them actually played one. Michael C. Hall played Dexter, I think. I got that right. The other one, Michael Shannon, has always just been extremely creepy in anything that he's in. He's very good at doing that. But anyway, what I know happened is that the ATF essentially like went in on a raid and there was a fire that started. No one's 100% sure who started the fire. And then the whole thing burned down. And like, I think 80 people died or something like that. So that's another thing that took place in Waco. April 17th of 2013, there was an explosion at the West Fertilizer Company. It's a massive explosion. Anyone remember this? People thought like, all right, there might have been some sabotage that took place here. Again, took place in Waco. And then, of course, you had the shootout out of Twin Peaks, a motorcycle shootout. And I guess there were 100-plus arrests, and no one was actually charged with the crime in a shooting that left 9 dead and 18 wounded out of Twin Peaks.
Is there a Better Call Saul kind of situation going on? Like, is there a Saul Goodman in Waco that got 100 people off?
I don't know. It's a good question. That would be a lot of work for any lawyer to put together. And also, I mean, like, damn, there's just a lot of crazy stuff that happens in Waco.
Yeah.
So I'm more fascinated about Waco itself than I am about the game, mainly because of its crazy, possibly cursed history.
You didn't even mention the the Art Briles whole situation.
Oh, yeah.
And then the basketball team were the
guy who got killed.
Yeah, I forgot the exact situation, but like the coach like covered up a murder or something. Yeah.
Scott Drew. Wait, no, it wasn't Scott Drew.
Not Scott Drew.
My God, I'm confusing the coaches. Hang on a second. And you can provide us with some details there. Waco is the most fascinating city, I think, in Texas, and that obviously it's not Houston, it's not Dallas, it's not Austin or San Antonio. It's not, I guess, Lubbock either, or some of those other ones, but the amount of crazy stuff that's happened there is honestly insane. And you're talking two of the worst college sports scandals that we have ever seen. Both took place at a religious institution. So I'm curious. I'm going to be walking around. I will be there. Look for some guy wearing a, you know, absolutely ridiculous green Hawaiian shirt. I'm going to be walking around. I'm really fascinated as to what I should do there. But a couple of people on the Twitch are saying, like, hey, like, it's terrible, Waco. Like, don't go there. I went to Waco in February, said Chris from Sam Houston. I was really underwhelmed. It is more a college town than a city.
That's
Cypress
not criticism.
Jeff. I guess not. Cypress Jeff, Waco, spent a whole month there. One night. Place stinks. Okay.
Well, yeah. Just go to Twin Peaks. All right, Paul. Have a good time.
Largobot says Patrick Dennehy, and then he took a shot at Syracuse. Look, I know Syracuse did some stuff, okay? I'm not trying to deny it.
So the story is that one teammate shot another, and I think the coach covered for the murderer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's bad. Shouldn't Shouldn't cover for a murderer.
Depends how good at basketball he was. Kidding, Twitch.
Yeah. Jeez.
I know I can't
joke censor
around
sarcasm.
Or Twitch thinks I'm serious about everything.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sometimes sarcasm eludes us. Look, it's not easy for everybody. Sean Mabes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776. We're leaving that Mike McDaniel discussion on the table. And an old friend who you guys definitely remember has some interesting thoughts on that. He's going to join us next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.